Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that ever refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable live at on-demand radio at your fingertips for free, libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word. If you want other award-winning talk shows around the clock, libertynewsradio.com. If you have the heart to help the new media take center stage, donate today. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. Donate at either libertyroundtable.com or libertynewsradio.com. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, well-known fellow talk show host, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. He wrote a book called Racism Schmacism, just showing how dishonest the mainstream press is, just showing what double standards are everywhere. If you believe that your race has value, everybody can have that viewpoint except for white people. If you want to advocate for your people, your country, your origins, your history, your heritage, everybody is encouraged to do that except for white people. Why is that? Well, we talked about it for a couple of hours yesterday. We talked about the horrible temperatures going on. They say the high could be minus 14. Polar vortex returns this week, promising life-threatening low temperatures that could shatter records and plunge the center of America or much of the region into its deepest freeze in decades. Our prayers are with those folks. The homeless are scared. Wow, Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin declared an emergency and told the National Guard to be ready to help. It's so bad. They say it's going to be colder than the North and South Poles and colder than Alaska. And I mean, it's just crazy. In Chicago, for example, city leaders even deployed buses as what they call mobile warming centers. So, you know, you got global warming, right? Then you got the mobile warming centers, government buses. Kirk Crosby says we ought to use the city buses as homeless shelters because they're usually empty. Well, now, Kurt, the way they got this is they're called mobile warming centers. So there you go with that. Donald Trump accepts offer from Nancy Pelosi to give the State of the Union in the House on November the 5th. I wish President Trump wouldn't have done that. I wish he'd go live on the border and highlight the crisis. But alas, no go. Racial bias in algorithms is the well-documented reality, they claim. They claim that white people create all the computer algorithms, and therefore they have the white supremacist attitude, even in the computer code. What they're going to do is make sure white people can't be computer programmers anymore because they got to get rid of that racism, don't you know? Nobody can be racist except for white people. You got that? We talked about they say even facial recognition works best if you're a white guy, the New York Times. So see, even facial recognition works better if you're white. It has nothing to do with reality, just has everything to do with the hatred that white people, well, have for everybody else, they claim. See, if you're white, there's no way you could avoid the racism charge. Unless you just simply ignore it, know the truth that, hey, for example, I believe that we're all God's children and we should treat each other kindly. Remember the two great commandments, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember that? I believe in those things. And it didn't say depending on the race of your neighbor, right? We're all God's children and we need to act like it and treat each other with kindness and dignity. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. It doesn't mean everybody's the same height and the same weight and the same intelligence and the same. It doesn't mean that. It means that everybody before God and should be before government has equal standing. They're on level ground in terms of their God-given unalienable rights and in terms of their opportunity to choose God over Satan. That's what the meaning was. But of course, these days it's perverted. We talked about a story from a couple of months ago, Donald Trump to meet hundreds of young black leaders in the White House for a, what they call it is the Young Black Leaders Summit. Now, just imagine if we had a young white leaders summit, or just imagine if we had an old man white leaders summit. I mean, we would get absolutely slaughtered for that. We're just highlighting the double standard that we see, folks. We talked about a flashback. Liberal darlings, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Sarah Silverman, they all wore blackface back in the day. Now, I'm not advocating for wearing blackface. I'm just making a point. What if you did whiteface? Would that be okay? It's just strange how they're all on the attack, but you know what? They were all guilty back in the day. We talked about Sinéad O'Connor. Says white people are disgusting. Now, could you imagine just saying black people are disgusting? Asian people are disgusting? See, any kind of a blanket statement like that is evil and wrong. Why are these people saying these kinds of things, huh? Shouldn't be said to white people either. Should it, you racists? Hour two, James Edwards continues. We talked about a leader of the NAACP. Just imagine if you had the opposite of the NAACP too, huh? And by the way, the NAACP even refers to colored people. Isn't that an outdated term? How come they can keep their name and continue to do that? Isn't that offensive to African Americans and such like that? Anyway, just wondering. Nevertheless, you couldn't have an organization for white people like that, or it'd be super racist, wouldn't it? Anyway, this leader of the NAACP, his name is Bishop Talbert Swan. He tweeted, "White women are very happy with white supremacy." He went on to say these white racist women support bigotry, racism, misogyny, pedophilia, and sexual abuse. What trash. I mean, how dare he say such a thing? White women are not into bigotry and abuse, pedophilia, misogyny, racism, bigotry. I mean, this guy is off the charts. But, of course, he can say all that about white women. What if you said that about black women or Asian women or Latino women? I mean, it would be off the charts, the attack you would get. I don't think you should say that to any women. And if women are suffering from abuse or suffering from anything less than the understanding that we're all God's children and we should treat each other like it, then our prayers are with them. What a shame. What an absolute shame. We talked about Jewish leaders' call for new editions of the Bible and the Quran to come with, quote, trigger warnings, highlighting the anti-Semitic passages in the Bible and the Quran. So now the Bible is the big anti-Semitic document, right? Don't worry about 50 Shades of Grey. That can just roll out as pornography with no warnings whatsoever. But the Bible, hey now, wow. University of Denver actually hosts White Privilege Symposium, and the goal is to focus on how white people can hold themselves accountable for being white. Now, do you need to hold yourself accountable for being white? This is what I'm talking about. What if I were to say hold yourself accountable for being Hispanic or black? Okay, it's wrong, folks. And they shouldn't do this to white people either. I'm not guilty for being white. I don't need to hold myself accountable for being white. God made me white just as he made a black person black. We should celebrate that diversity. We should not attack one another. We should treat each other like neighbors and treat each other kindly. We should be the good Samaritan, and we should realize we're all God's children, and let's start to act like it, okay? But imagine hosting a, quote, white privilege symposium on the University of Denver campus where taxpayers pay the bill. In fact, mostly white people pay the bill, right? And then I need to be accountable for being white? See, but even for me to bring this up is racist, right? They claim. The problem is that if I don't talk about it, then they say, see, my white privilege won't even let me talk about the problems. But if I'm willing to talk about it, they either shut me down or call me a racist. You just can't win. Believe it or not, Santa Barbara City College Board of Trustees president says goodbye to the Pledge of Allegiance. You want to know why? Because the Pledge of Allegiance is, well, it's a promotion of white nationalism, and the history is a problem. So you got whacked out historical revisionists out of control over the Pledge of Allegiance. I thought the Pledge of Allegiance said one nation under God. Isn't that all of us together? But of course, it's bigoted because, what, white people came up with it? I mean, I don't even know the reason that the Pledge of Allegiance is a problem. But there you go. All right. Her name is Megan Neely, and she's an assistant professor. And she had to step down from her administrative position after she sent an email, I guess, advising students not to speak Chinese. Now she's at Duke University. And the only reason she said for them not to speak Chinese is she said, hey, a lot of professors behind the scenes are saying you're speaking Chinese too loudly everywhere. And if you want to get a good job and you want to do well in your academic career, then you better learn to speak English and kind of assimilate into society. Well, she was the one that let everybody know this. And her goal was to help them get jobs. And her goal was to help them academically. The problem is they fired her. Now, I don't think that we should be telling people they have to speak English necessarily. I think they can speak whatever language they want. Is this America? What about freedom of speech? Does freedom of speech of the First Amendment relate to speaking whatever the heck language you want to? I think it does. Nevertheless, this lady wasn't trying to be a bigot. She was just trying to help these folks understand that the more you assimilate into our society, the greater chance that you'll be looked on positively, the greater chance that you'll get a job, the greater chance that you'll excel academically. I think that's common sense. If I was in China, I would expect to try to learn their language and assimilate and learn their culture. This isn't a racist statement as much as it's a, hey, the more you're different from people, the harder it is for them to relate. All right, anyway, racist Tom Brokaw melts down. I'll tell you about that when we come back. And then we'll get Kurt on from the road with a lot of hard-hitting news that I refuse to use. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, I don't know why they had a racist on the air for so many years, but they certainly did, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly, Tom Brokaw's a big old racist. Yeah, I mean, he said some crazy stuff. Racist Tom Brokaw melts down. Tom said, quote, "I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation." See, that's why I'm a racist, too, because I believe they ought to assimilate. Again, I think whatever society you're in, this isn't just a white thing or America thing. If I moved to Mexico and I lived there for any length of time, I ought to do my best to learn their language, to understand their customs, to do my best to become part of their culture in a way that endears me to the people, in a way that lets me do well in their society. And I think the same is true in America. It's not that our language is better than anybody else's. It's not that our language is right and theirs is wrong. It's not that they're not allowed to use their free speech to speak Spanish or Chinese or whatever language they want to. But look, the more people understand one another and the more commonalities they have, the greater chance for success, for mutual cooperation you will have. But anyway, Tom Brokaw also said a few other things where he was quoting other people. Talking about, you know, hey, people are concerned about illegals crossing the border. And anyway, he said some things like that, but they absolutely slaughtered Tom. Now, here's the problem for Tom. It isn't that they beat him up over it. That's standard. He's white, right? He doesn't have a chance. But the problem for Tom is instead of standing up for his beliefs, he wimped out like an absolute wimp. Okay, what he needs to do is take a little bit more of the Donald Trump mentality. Trump, the journalist, quote, "I'm not a racist. Your question is racist." And I think that's the exact point we need to start doing. I had on David A. Clark Jr., former Milwaukee, Wisconsin sheriff, on the broadcast with me last Saturday. And he's saying this. You know what? We need people to stand up for our beliefs. Don't accept that they're calling you a racist. Just because you want people to speak English, it doesn't mean you're a racist. Just because you want people to assimilate into our society and legally come to America, that does not mean you're a racist. And instead of just apologizing and wimping out and going, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry if I offended everyone, and just wimping out, what we need to learn to do is stand up like Trump and say, look, I'm not a racist. Your whole agenda, you're bringing this all up, is totally racist. Okay? And we need to learn to stand up like this, folks. We really do. I'm not a racist, folks. It's true. You ask anybody that knows me well, and I'm telling you right now, they will not, or they will say that I am not a racist. I am kind to everyone to the best of my ability. I don't even see someone's color, so I don't even know what color people are. But if you are a good person, if you want to promote God, family, and country, if you want to protect life, liberty, and property, if you believe in Christian values and you do your best to live by them, then you know what? I consider you a friend. I don't care where in the world you are. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what color you are. None of those things matter. Now, if you want to violate God's laws and steal and plunder and pillage and you know, all these things, then you're not really a friend of mine. I just feel like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with you. I don't care if you're white or black or what you are. So I say we're all God's children. We ought to behave like it. The two great commandments, if you're a Christian, are love the Lord your God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. Okay, the second one is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I look at the Good Samaritan to determine what a neighbor is. A neighbor might even be somebody totally different from you, right? I mean, look, the Good Samaritan was helping somebody that was supposed to be an enemy or kind of a different culture, whatever, right? Somebody not as good as somebody else, whatever you want to say. Okay, I reject all this idea that one group is above another. And I don't care whether it's money, male, female, race, religion. We are all God's children, and we should behave like it. Hey, Kurt, you've been around me forever, my friend, in public and in private, for over 25 years now. What do you say? Would you say I'm a racist, sir?
Well, you know, as the world says, if you're white, you are. But I just think it's... so much of the whole when did you stop beating your wife kind of question. And it just, you know, we need to just laugh it off or else just say, hey, do like Sheriff David A. Clark and say, quit talking about that, you know. But
yeah, and I talk about it not because I really want to make a big issue of race, but because I want to really jettison this stereotype that goes on. I want to jettison this idea that you can just play the race card or just drive a wedge so easily. We as Americans need to get a thicker skin and understand what's being done to us. They know, 9 times out of 10, they know we're not racists. But they also know if they toss that card in, then it'll work well. Let me give you an example. There's a Minnesota House candidate. The guy was black for the 20, well, he's been black his whole life, I guess. But he was in this 20... latest elections or whatever, and this black Minnesota House candidate uses the N-word to describe himself in his own campaign ad, Kurt. Wow. And he said the reason he did it is he wanted to highlight this bogus idea. And he's like us, Kurt. He wants to focus on Christian principles and everything else. And so he says, I want to be your representative. I want to be your, you know, N-word. And, you know, it, Wow. Now, I'm not really supporting his language, but I am supporting his free speech, though. And just because he said it, that doesn't mean he's a racist. And if I said it, that doesn't mean I'm a racist. See, Donald Trump, they're still looking for the clip where Donald uses the N-word to attack him. Well, we don't have the clip of Trump using the N-word, but we do have the clip of Barack using the N-word. And there's no blowback for that. So we got to reject this double standard, and we got to educate people that, look, you can't just take people out of the game. They literally took this broadcaster, Tom Brokaw, out of the mix. He was once a revered, well-known news anchorman. Now the guy's nothing but a bigot. Just on that one, I don't know what you want to say, quoting a couple of other people and then saying, hey, I really think they should work harder at assimilation here. Now just a bigot. I mean, his whole legacy now is just nothing but a bigot, racist, disgraced, discredited, all the words you can think of for this guy, Kurt.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it's really sad, and that's the reason that we bring it up, because it's got to stop.
Yep, that's a great point. And to answer your question about you being one, I just think it's almost like you should answer that like the president answered the question of if he worked for the Russians. You know, he said, hey, I think that's like completely out of line for you even asking the question, you know. And that's basically what we ought to do, is just almost shame people that bring that up, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it reminds me of the baseball player that was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Some call them the Mormons, just so you know. And everybody knows the Mormons don't drink alcohol. And so after this big game or whatever, the interviewer's like, hey, you're going to go out and drink a bunch of beer? And the Mormon guy or the baseball player just looks at him and goes, you know what? That's a clown question, bro. It's like, what are you talking about? We don't drink alcohol. You know that. You're just trying to mock me or make fun of me or drive away. I'm not going to let you do it. That's a clown question, bro. And I look at this, and this racism thing, especially for me, is a clown question. I don't even know what color somebody is unless I'm told, Kurt.
Yep.
I mean, the only reason I know that Tom Brokaw's white is because I assume that he wouldn't be being attacked over race if he wasn't. Other than that, I don't know what color Tom Brokaw is. How would I know?
Yeah, good point.
And I don't really care, by the way. I don't care what race somebody is. David A. Clark Jr. was on the broadcast the other day, and he's saying, you know what, whenever they bring up this race question, what you do is you look right at him and say, that's a discussion for another day, but right now I'm back to the issue at hand. And I think he's right. Anyway, very interesting. A sad tale to tell, but we covered it in great detail with James Edwards. We finished up the broadcast with James talking about the 1,000-plus journalists laid off in the mainstream media. So they're losing a lot of jobs in the mainstream. And it's because of this kind of stuff, I believe, Kurt. The American people are starting to see right through it, and they're flat-out sick of it. I'll give you an example of this Nick Sandman guy. You know, I call him a mega-hat-wearing Christian. But, see, they would say this guy's evil and he hates Indians. And well, the problem is he's Catholic and he's Christian and he's, a well-behaved teenager. And so they just hate him. And they tried to make a mountain out of a molehill. The media got egg all over their face on that one, because the truth, I guess, will set Nick free. But the videos betrayed the whole agenda for the mainstream press. And this black group called the Israelites and this, quote, Native American agitator. And the media got egg all over their face on this one. But this is an example. This guy's just a Make America Great Again hat-wearing Christian at a peaceful pro-life rally. He's been there, and his group's been there for years. And now all of a sudden it goes wrong, but the media lost that one. And so Americans are realizing, and they don't want those kinds of news feeds going on. So it's sad that people are losing their jobs, but maybe somebody will wake up somewhere, Kurt.
It's possible, Sam, but it doesn't seem like it in the media world. They just keep doing the same dumb stuff.
Well, our prayers are with them. Doesn't matter what color they are. we hope they can come to their senses, and we hope they can rally around this idea about God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property, and that we're all God's children, and we should act like it, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And, hey, maybe some of these things can become popular. That's our prayer. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It may be notable that the motto attributed to the U.S. Postal Service goes, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Because with no mention of cold, today the U.S. Postal Service is canceling mail delivery in at least 10 states affected by the powerful polar vortex. Arctic air that has spilled into the Midwest, causing wind chills of as low as 50 below zero, heading also for the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic soon. One of President Trump's sons is hauling off on Democrats.
They don't want law and order. They want to tax people to death. They want to get businesses out of this country. They want to let anybody in this country. They want to bankrupt the system through free health care for all.
Eric Trump telling Fox's Hannity many Democratic candidates are going too far to the left to win the presidential nomination. And this is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Like, why do I have to pay a full gym membership when I don't even use all the equipment? Like the rowing machine. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing a ton of manual lake travel these days.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
The Congressional Conference Panel that's charged with coming up with a way to fund government and border security and avert another shutdown meets for the first time today. The deal that ended the nation's longest government shutdown will expire on February 15th. The president tweeting this morning that if the committee is not discussing a wall or physical barrier, quote, they are just wasting their time. R&B singing legend James Ingram has died.
If she wants to pay,
funeral arrangements said to be pending for Ingram, who died yesterday from complications of brain cancer at just 66. He was a two-time Grammy winner and an Oscar nominee. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to give his State of the League address in Atlanta today in advance of the Super Bowl, likely to be peppered with questions about the no-call pass interference incident in the NFC Championship. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt, failed Georgia candidate Stacey Abrams. She tried to run for governor on the Democratic ticket in Georgia. Flat-out socialist, flat-out Black Panther supporter. She had armed folks going to her rallies and all this kind of stuff is like Black Panther people and everything else. Anyway, I guess Stacey Abrams will give State of the Union response on behalf of Democrats. You want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, I would say something like they're shooting for the bottom of the barrel, but then that's probably racist. I just mean, you know, the lady is, in my opinion, she just out on way out there, you know, to not accept the results of the election and then to, you know, continue to get the coverage. I just don't get it, you know.
Yeah, what I find fascinating about this is this just shows how extreme and how far left the Democratic Party has really moved. You know, you used to have these. The Yellow Dog Democrats of yesteryear, or the Democrats that were, you know, they were very conservative back in the day. And the Democrats have just moved left, left, left. And I'm telling you, with the Stacey Abrams, Ocasio-Cortez, I don't know, Barney Frank slash Maxine Waters slash Nancy Pelosi slash Hillary Clinton slash, oh, what's that other guy that's super popular in the Democratic Party? What's that guy's name?
Well, you got Joe Biden, you got Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, you got Joe Biden, but what's that other guy's name?
You got Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders was one of, okay, these guys are just absolutely so far left. And to have Stacey, this is the other interesting thing about this is, not only is she super left, but to them, she's a rising star. And she was a failed candidate. And this is their effort to give her some footing on the ladder to success once again. I don't know that I can remember a time where they've had a failed candidate give the response like this. So they're really reaching to try to get some of these leftists a foothold into leadership with this move, Kurt. Big time.
It sure looks like it.
So anyway, I just find that quite interesting to say the least, because it's just so, what's amazing to me about it is it's so extreme too. I mean, she is crazy. But you know what? The conservative side's quite a bit better, Kurt, but not a lot better. The Republicans have skewed left quite a bit as well over the years, sad to say. I mean, you got guys like McCain, what's his name?
Durbin.
Yeah, he was the leader of the House before, or whatever.
Oh, you're talking about Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan, sorry.
Boehner.
Yeah, and you got these guys, and you got, I mean, they're moving left too. But here's what I find fascinating. I don't know if you know, but North Carolina Rep. Mark Meadows reelected as chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Kurt.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, and there's, that's a good guy. There's just, it seems like too few of them in Congress, you know?
Yeah, and when you say he's a good guy, I'm not here to debate whether he's a good or a bad guy, but here's what's interesting. He's a representative, you know? So yeah. I went and looked on the New American Freedom Index for his score, Kurt. Do you know what Mark Meadows got on the Freedom Index?
When I checked, it seemed like it was around 70, if I remember.
Yeah, right. 73%.
Okay.
So I'm not here necessarily to attack the guy, but when that's your leader, and that's the best it gets.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it, Kurt? A little bit?
Yeah, it's a crazy spot we're in.
I don't know what to think about it exactly, except for, wow. You know? All right, you remember Stephen Paddock, right, Kurt? That's the guy that went ballistic and in the high-rise hotel in Vegas and shot everybody at the music event or whatever you want to say. You remember all that?
Okay.
Well, the FBI is in the news about Stephen Paddock, and the FBI says the reason for Stephen Paddock's October 1st, 2017 rampage remains a mystery. And the FBI finds no motive in Las Vegas shooting, so they close their investigation. Do you want to respond to that, Kurt?
So, no information about, you know, if anybody else was there, any other shooters, nothing. The FBI is just, you know, investigating for, 2 years now, and they have nothing else to add.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, and that's the reason that I bring it up, Kurt, is I'm with you. I'm not buying it. Something's wrong. But remember, we've caught them lying, multiple times on this already, Kurt?
Yeah, not only on this, on plenty of other things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't quite get it. And so it's a sad deal. But they're literally saying, we don't have any idea what the motive is. We don't understand how this happened. We don't understand why he did it. All we know is that he wanted to kind of go out with a bang. But they don't discuss any of this. And my response to this is, Kurt, this is an example of a massive deep state cover-up, in my opinion. Why do I say that? Well, because his girlfriend was involved with him. You had backdoor, you know, employee elevator stuff getting him back up to his room multiple times. So there's got to be cooperation somewhere. Right? You had hotel leaders flee to Mexico. You had all this cover-up where we found out more and more and more and more of this. I'm just telling you right now, it reeks to high heaven. The deep state covered this up, and I guess Donald's not going to look into the Seth Rich murder. Donald's not going to look into this massive murder. No motive. The FBI is just going to go ahead and prosecute Ammon Bundy, but they're going to go ahead and just say we can't get to the bottom of the Stephen Paddock scenario. I mean, at some point, I'm just going, man, there's no trust for me in this, Kurt.
Yeah, or you got to ask, well, what good are they? And, you know, that brings up a really good question. You know, when did we get the FBI in the first place? And is it really constitutional? Shouldn't we just probably just disband it and start over?
Well, it's a good point. I don't know that they're going to take your point seriously, but they certainly should. Speaking of radicals, though, while they're dismissing the Stephen Paddock issue and saying we don't know the answers, maybe they ought to let a third party like us, maybe the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, could get free rein and subpoena information, and maybe we could investigate that thing, Kurt. What do you think?
Well, I would bet that with guys like Sheriff David A. Clark, Sheriff Mack, and you and I, investigate, and I bet we could find out some facts, and at least we'd have something to report after a couple of years instead of saying, well, we don't have anything to say, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just strange stuff. But the radicals continue, and this guy just seems a lot more common sense, although I don't think I'd ever vote for this guy, but Howard Schultz is in the news. And America does not want far-left ideas like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her 70% marginal taxing the wealthy idea. The billionaire, former Starbucks CEO, says he could never run for president as a Democrat because the party's moved way far too left, Kurt.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, Sam, at least it's sad for the, you know, honorable Democrats, if there are any. You know, he's telling the truth, right?
Yeah, I guess. But what's interesting about this Schultz guy is at least he's being candid and honest, Kurt, as far as I can tell. He then says this: if I ran as a Democrat, I'd have to say things that I know in my heart I do not believe. And I would have to be disingenuous, he says. Schultz says the nation simply cannot financially afford the priorities of the far left Democrats. You want to respond to that?
You know, and he's taken a lot of heat for it. He's already had several events, at least one that I'm aware of, where they've, you know, come out and attacked him at it. I think that, you know, he just adds a lot of interesting information to this. This election is one more billionaire. You got Bloomberg. I don't know if the president, President Trump, is a billionaire, but this guy, Howard Schultz is. And, you know, they keep saying that the Democrats are worried that he'll split up the vote if he runs as an independent and make it so the president wins. I think it's the other way around. Make it so Hillary wins.
Well, I don't know where it all goes, but I know this. The Democrats are freaking out. How much of this is true versus how much is political theater is what I don't know. But it even gets more interesting when it comes to Howard Schultz. We'll tell you about it in a second. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
How much of it's political theater, I don't know, but the Democrats are panicking about Howard Schultz the second he kind of spoke out and said, I might run for president. America doesn't want far-left ideas like Ocasio-Cortez. They panicked, and even the Democrats heckled him within seconds of his first campaign appearance in New York City. Go back to Davos with the other billionaires, they say. Anyway, bottom line is, this is a serious bid if he's serious, Kurt? Meaning, I don't know if he'll really jump in the race or not, but if he does, this could be serious. I'm finding myself already agreeing with some of the things he's saying. I don't think I'd vote for him because I don't think he's a constitutionalist, but all I'm saying is he's already saying some of the right things, Kurt, rejecting the far extremes, right?
Well, that's what I see, and, you know, all you got to do is split up the vote. You get enough of the... Ocasio-Cortez's, the real Hillary backers to stay with Hillary. Then you split up the other group of voters, you know, the ones for President Trump and for Schultz, and then you let Hillary walk in just like Bill Clinton did with less than the majority of the vote.
Yeah, Schultz hires ex-Obama aide Bill Burton. I guess as his, campaign leader, whatever you call it?
Yeah, this guy has...
Or communications advisor, I guess is what they're calling it.
That's right. He's done a bunch to analyze this. So, you know, and remember how the media can basically make somebody or break them. And we saw they did it with Jimmy Carter. They brought a peanut farmer from Georgia to national prominence. They did it with Bill Clinton, and they're, as far as I can see, they're doing it with Howard Schultz. Now, there's a couple of reasons they're doing it with him, and one, or maybe a lot more than a couple, is like 3.5 billion reasons, and that is that's his net worth. They want some of that money as much as they can get, and so they're going to give him favorable coverage, I think.
Yeah, and the interesting point that you're making, Curtis, political theater might make it act like the Democrats hate this, that it's a horrible idea, but what they're doing, it's kind of like how they got Donald Trump to be president, too. You just rag on the idea, you play the opposition, and the opposition just gets just buku coverage. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad, just get my name right. That's how Roger Stone does it. He's like, the only thing worse than talking about me is not talking about me. and that point is well taken to where, you know what, this might actually let a Hillary or a Howard win, as long as it's never Trump, would be the idea, right?
That's as far as I can see.
I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right about this. And whether Howard Schultz really understands what's happening or whether there's somebody just conned him into running and he's not really aware, I don't really know. I don't know how the landscape looks, but I know this. The likelihood of it making sure Donald gets elected is pretty slim. The likelihood of it making sure that somebody else but the Donald gets elected is great.
The more you split up the vote, you know, the less I mean, you basically can have a smaller group of people that can be the winners, you know?
Well, and if Hillary got close, she may not get as close this next time as people realize how angry and evil she really is. But then if you split the vote, though, you know what? Close could be, well, like Ross Perot. What does close mean? More than the other guys, obviously, but not near what it would take otherwise is the point, right?
That's right.
Anyway, now there's a headline, too, about Schultz. You just sent me. It says Howard Schultz could actually win the presidency, Kurt. You know what? It's true. He might. It's possible. I don't know if he'll really weigh in or not. I think they're flirting with disaster, but they're flirting with the idea right now. But actually, it's possible for him to win even.
Well, yeah, that's what that author says. He's a guy from PJ Media, and he basically just says, look, here's how this thing could play out. And, you know, I know it sounds, I mean, the Democrats and the other guys are wanting to act like, oh, man, don't throw me in the briar patch. But I believe this is, you know, exactly what they want. And he brings up the same thing that, you know, we have talked about. He says, let's see where the point is, but he basically says, hey, look at Bill Clinton. He won it with like 43% of the vote at that time. And he says, write Schultz off at your peril. So I think this guy's put a bunch of money and effort into it. Now, I'm not saying he'll go ahead and go, but there's certainly that possibility.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Tom Fitton's in the news too, Kurt. Tom Fitton's of Judicial Watch, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, basically his group has just delved into the whole deal about Nancy Pelosi's flying around at our taxpayers' expense. And Sam, it was surprising to me, not really his tongue-in-cheek, but he said that they had a hard time getting the facts, even after they submitted the whole Freedom of Information Act request. I'm sure you're surprised about that, as I am, you know.
Well, it's just typical stuff, right?
That's the point. What they found out, they submitted the Freedom of Information Act request and asked for basically all the congressmen and senators that flew during their request sent to the Air Force, all this info, and they got back that Nancy flew on a detailed deal, was $134,000 plus for her flight. Plus $50,000 for an advance of funds for an escort officer, for a total of almost $185,000 for a. She was the minority leader at that time, wanted to fly to Italy and Ukraine, or did fly, I should say. And this is a December 2015 Freedom of Information Act lawsuit because the Air Force failed to respond to the request. Imagine that, failing to respond. It's just kind of, like you said, standard practice when you fill these things out. But they wanted to know all records regarding mission taskings of flights escorting members of Congress, all records concerning transportation costs, you know, and it goes on and on, and it tells you some of the other ones. But the bottom line is, they spent boatloads of money.
Well, you want to know what the problem is I see?
What's that?
The Congress isn't vetting the bills, Kurt, to know what they're spending money on. And so Nancy, in this case, just has basically a blank check. She can do whatever she wants. There's nobody to put the stop on Nancy. that's responsible, constitutionally speaking, for the purse strings. Now, Donald shut her down the other day because it was a big showdown, and I appreciate it. He's the only one to do it so far, it looks like to me. So good on the Donald. But, you know, where's the other members of Congress to say, look, you can't just run around and have the taxpayers pay for your flights everywhere? And in other cases in past, when they've found out this has been done, people have gone to jail, Kurt. So, you know what? Is Nancy going to jail pretty soon?
Well, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Just wondering.
It's sad to see in the Breitbart piece where it brings this up, it says that Nancy spent over $100,000 for in-flight expenses that include food and alcohol. And
So we're funding her alcoholism, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we need to use Donald Trump's paycheck to help her get off that alcohol.
Yeah, by the way, they said because of their work, that's Judicial Watch's work exposing Pelosi's travel abuses, her successor, John Boehner, declined to use Air Force luxury jets to travel to his Ohio congressional district.
Bottom line is, when you shed light on things, folks, the cockroaches run, and scrutiny brings accountability and responsibility, and we just need to have somebody deal with Nancy on this. She should have never been allowed to do it in the first place. But it's already having an effect, and good for them, good for Jesus to watch, good for Donald bringing it out in the open. And, you know, hey, there's not enough good, but there's a lot of start, and we got to support all that we can get. All right, Roger Stone pleads not guilty, Kurt, to charges in Mueller investigation. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. That's basically what he said he was going to do all along, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying he's true to form. Usually when you hear of a bureaucrat or a politician say they're going to do something, you find out they went and did the opposite. But in this case, he stays true to what he said, and our prayers are with Roger, and our prayers are with Corsi, and we'll just see what happens. Donald Trump, though, says economic growth is, quote, unstoppable. Economists are warning otherwise. You want to respond to that one, Kurt?
Well, you know, President Trump's one of the biggest cheerleaders we've got for, you know, making America great again, at least the best he can, you know, go at it. And the thing is, all these people with jobs and things, they're changing the picture, Sam, and the other guys, the guys that are basically the anti-Trump crowd or whatever, are trying to do the best they can to get it said that, we're going down and we're going to have a recession and all that stuff. But the problem is, there's a lot more people working and jobs coming back to America, and that makes quite a big difference, I think.
Yeah, my only response to this, Kurt, is this. As long as you follow free market principles, President Trump, you're absolutely right. But the longer you let the Federal Reserve manipulate the outcome and raise interest rates, and the longer you let, you know, all these regulations continue to block the free enterprise system or manipulate the economy, the longer you let regulation and unlimited expenditures happen and the Federal Reserve muddle and manipulate things and the stock market plunge protection team just fiddle with the longer you let everybody meddle with the free market, buddy, the more these naysayers will be right. The more you embrace the principles of freedom and free markets and honest money, then you know what? You're right. It's absolutely unstoppable. So what I'm saying is I'm kind of agreeing with both sides, Kurt. Trump's saying it's unstoppable, and if we obey the right principles, he's absolutely spot on. On the other hand, as long as we let these people meddle, hey, they can shut down any economy with their dishonest money, Kurt, with their manipulation of everything. They can just absolutely control economies, and it should be criminal, and that's what we need to focus on.
Good point.
I hope they don't sabotage the Donald, though. But yeah. I kind of have a feeling they're trying hard to do that, aren't they?
That's right, and we hope for him to surround himself with good people as fast and as hard as he can. Whether he has a chance to only finish out his term or gets another one, we hope for the best for America and the world.
Just put Ron Paul in charge of the Mint or the Treasury, and fire the Federal Reserve, and I think one single move with one guy could get you rolling.
Oh, yeah.
That would be my proposal anyway, Donald. Hope you're listening. If you're not, I hope some of your aides are writing up notes and sending them your way, my friend. Thanks for being alongside. We support President Trump and all the good that he's doing. We have some concerns about some of the things that aren't going as well as we hope, and so we hope to kind of insert ourselves to influence and make that which is good popular and that which is not so good unpopular. Our goal, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property every day on your radio, except we take a break on the Sabbath. It's called the day of rest for a reason, and we do it. 6 days a week, we're live, though, 2 hours a day. LibertyRoundTable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. We need every penny we can get to grow our presence as we take on the old guard media. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.